If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTradio.live. This is Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast with Joseph Arthur and Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Adam Ruckus Clark is on Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Oh, no. Adam Ruckus Clark is on Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Putin says the U.S. don't have no class. Oh no. And Zelensky wants to join NATO fast. Let's discuss it with Adam Ruckus Clark on Joseph Arthur Technicolor Dreamcast. What's up, dude? How are you, Ruckus?
Hey, Joseph. How's it going? That was a banger of a musical intro, per usual, my friend. Thank you very much. It's great.
Energetic is what that
I learned
was.
Something, too.
What'd you learn?
All those things you said right there, because I had no idea what was going on with the Putin and all this stuff.
Let me tell you, man. I've been enmeshing myself with it all day long, dude. From the morning, I'm texting Patrick Henningsen. I'm just doing deep research on it. It's interesting what's going on about with all that. So so Zelensky did this sort of TV ad where he's signing, wanting to join NATO, expedited joining of NATO. Putin made a crazy speech today. Railing against wokeism, in fact, in the United States, saying that Russians want to be raised by mother and father, not parent one and parent two. He also railed against transitioning children and whatnot, basically railed against wokeism. And the referendum for those four regions in Ukraine, I won't butcher their names right now, but there's four massive regions of Ukraine have gone to Putin, and the West is saying those are sham elections. They're not taking them seriously, but Putin obviously is taking them very seriously. It was an overwhelming victory for them, but again, they said they're not legit elections, at least according to the U.S. and Zelensky. So, it's amping up. And then Putin also said, obviously, the Nord Stream pipelines were bombed by the U.S. He blamed that on the U.S. Joe Biden, in turn, blamed it on Putin and said he was giving Russian misinformation, that old chestnut. So, it looks like, we're on the cusp of something serious happening. Is basically what's going on, and unless it's all just political theater, let's hope, but it doesn't seem to be. It's definitely scary news happening today. So there you go. That's the Cliff Notes version.
Cool. Although there might be some breaking information in all seriousness this time concerning the Nord Stream pipeline. Did you guys hear that investigators have actually concluded that the pipeline committed suicide after, of course, the guards fell asleep and the security cameras stopped working? But it's quite concerning, this wrestling match. My stick is bigger than your stick kind of thing that we're seeing is not just on the local political stage. Now it's on the global theater, and it involves people who have some incredibly frighteningly powerful weapons, and not just the nukes. I've been catching up on some information that Vanessa Beale has been putting out there involving some stuff happening out in other parts of the world. I'm not going to drag everybody into that. But during that, I was introduced for the first time ever, and then I Googled some stuff. There are these massive, missile battery things. They're called S-3000s or something like that. There's a whole series of these things, and they're like these huge trucks, and mounted on the back are like an unfathomable amount of like powerful missiles that just whoosh, they go off and blow stuff up pretty quick and easy and accurately. And I'm just like, wow, there's a lot of scary weapons out there. And that's what these people are going out there playing with in the playground, playing their little King of the Hill game and bullying each other and puffing their chests. And this is crazy, dude. Yeah. So I hope it is just, you know, political theater. All of the world is a stage. All of this stuff is usually just, you know, a bunch of actors. I mean, we literally have an actor involved in one of these, President Volodymyr Zelensky, the comedian, who used to portray the idea of a comedian becoming president. And then, you know, there he was in real life, comedian becoming president. So it's almost a bit on the nose too much, in my opinion, about some of this stuff. But it is also interesting to note this speech by Putin, which I didn't get to hear yet. But from what I can tell, it sounds a lot similar to that, you know, Melania Georgiana speech. Did I get her name right this time? Holy moly, I can't do her name for some reason. The new Italian prime minister. That we, you know, we were looking into that speech that she had made that went viral, and we found out it had come from 2019. But a lot of the same kind of talking points. We want to be raised by like a mom and a dad and not by parental units, parent one, parent two, and all of this stuff. This giant pushback against the woke culture seems to be the zeitgeist these days, doesn't it? It's the flavor du jour.
Well, him calling out the Western elite as Satanist is pretty interesting. I mean, it really kind of makes you examine, you know, obviously I love America. I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. I'm not proud of American leadership, and I'm not proud of certain aspects that are now basically representing us around the world. And the world considers this wokeism a joke. You know, and so do many Americans. So it sucks that we're getting defined this way because our leadership is bringing this on. You know what I mean? And it makes you kind of consider what it is to be a U.S. citizen in these times. And we've been railing against these absurd agendas for a long time. And because I don't want America to be represented by that. And the fact that Putin's out there making a speech calling it satanic is interesting, because it's not too far from some of the things we've said here on TNT. And then you got, oh, well, then you're Russian. No, it's not to do with Russian, or you're not a Russian sympathizer now because you also see the absurdity of wokeism. And that's the interesting sort of corkscrew Putin's speech has sort of thrown on all of us. Like, oh, wait a minute, I agree with that, those aspects. I'm also don't want to be raised by parent one and parent two. I agree with that. That doesn't mean I'm on Russia's side or I'm pro Putin. And, you know, and just because I'm American doesn't mean I like our current leadership or agree with their agenda. So it just makes you kind of take a deeper dive internally about what your sort of allegiance to your country is and what it means. And to me, as same as it ever was, it's about the principles. It's about the principles America was built on, which I don't think Joe Biden represents at all. That's what I love. I love the America where we have freedom of speech, where we can express ideas without fear of cancellation, where, you know, I'm not for wokeism, and wokeism should not represent America. And it's alarming when you get a world leader such as Putin associating that rhetoric with America, and him not altogether being wrong, because current leadership is championing those ideas, you know. So it makes me have a good hard long think, because I'm definitely American, definitely proud to be an American, and I want to continue to be proud to be an American, and that's why we're out here fighting the good fight.
That's very interesting. I never really thought about this whole thing, how the woke ideology agenda or whatnot looks on the global stage, because I suppose you're 100% right. We would be, I suppose, the birthplace of this sort of thing I'm going to have to look into the history of this. I hope we're not the birthplace of it, but we're certainly the one of the largest cheerleaders for it, and apparently, based on this discussion, the poster child for it, in the eyes of certain world leaders, at least. Man, that's kind of embarrassing to a degree, but
I guess it is.
It but really a lot of these is. Things can't
Actually,
be helped.
It is.
When I was a kid, I was led to believe that the stereotype of Americans is that they were all a bunch of cowboy hicks chewing bubble gum, watching football, drinking beer. And I don't identify with any of that, you know, but I didn't let it get to me. But this is kind of a little different this time, you know what I mean? Because it's not like we were, you know, involved in playing Team America World Police and shoving bubble gum and beer down the throats of people in third world countries. Well, to a degree, I suppose we were actually doing that. But again, not like this woke ideology stuff, which is totally infiltrated on the entire planet. I really don't think we're the birthplace of this. This sounds to me far more like something cooked up by the World Economic Forum elite types that they've trickled down to all of their various countries.
It comes from critical
to know
theory.
That we're,
it comes from critical theory, and it has its roots in like World War II. You know, I think it came over from Germany, but I don't even know if that's the birthplace from it. You know, and I'm, you know, not totally knowledgeable about it, but I think its roots are critical theory, which then transferred into critical race theory. And basically, it's whatever idea somebody brings, you criticize to the point where you silence them. Is kind of like my understanding of critical theory. I wrote like some kind of study poem about critical theory. Let me see if I can dial it up, but it was kind of a while ago. Anyway, so.
Well, let me share this something that I discovered just across the last couple days. This comes from, the guy's name is Dr. William Sargent. He was with the Tavistock Institute, one of these weird shadowy think tank psychological operations groups, right? This is what he had to say, and I found this very interesting, and I think it might actually apply to what we're talking about. Various beliefs can be implanted in many people after brain function has been sufficiently disturbed by accidentally or deliberately induced fear, anger, or excitement. Of the results caused by such disturbances, the most common one is temporarily impaired judgment and heightened suggestibility. Its various group manifestations are sometimes classed under the heading of herd instinct and appear most spectacularly in wartime during severe epidemics and in similar periods of common danger, which increase anxiety, and so individual and mass mass suggestibility. Tripping over the words there. But this is kind of like basically the idea of like the mass formation psychosis idea and how they actually can control an entire population with, you know, the fear, these emotions, including anger and excitement. It's like I used to say, like, sometimes there would be days where everybody just seems to be like really mad at everybody for no reason. And I'm like, they flipped a switch, you know, like some sort of metaphorical switch, like somebody in a room somewhere literally has their finger on a switch they could flick that just, you know, controls people's emotions. But to what degree maybe they actually can do that? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of moving parts involved with that, but you never know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Critical theory is the destruction of society. The Frankfurt School, their language, their lexicon, damned us to live through the madness upon us now. How many puppets chirp their rhetoric without knowing they are puppets of ghosts? Fromm was the godfather of the backwards accusation that led the radical left, modern fascists, to call those seeking freedom Nazis and fascists, pretending the birthplace of this disgrace is America, but America is the land of the free, and these malcontents brought their theories from Germany, encouraging sexual freedom as liberation and marriage as a life-threatening, misery-inducing institution. Marcuse, victim groups, free love, moral relativism, tyrannical equality or freedom and personal responsibility, virtue and hard work versus promiscuity and decadence, repressive tolerance, cultural freedom of speech and opinion, cultural Marxism through critical theory, Frankfurt School theory, repressive tolerance, political correctness. So this was like poem notes or something. I don't know what it is. But yeah, so I was doing a deep dive on it a little while back and I didn't follow through all the way. But yeah, it's it came in through, you know, obviously, famously, the educational system, you know, the colleges, they teach this Marxist agenda, and it came in through free love. Basically, it was about destroying the family unit, so disempowering people, because having a family makes you much more difficult to subjugate and control. Divorcing yourself from a relationship with God, again, these same things, you know, so it's these are things I believe in. I believe having a family unit is a strong thing to try to create in your life. A relationship with God, I think that as well. That doesn't make you intolerant. It doesn't make you Russian. These are the values America was actually built on. So to me, they represent America, but America has been invaded by a mind virus called Marxism and this woke ideology. And we're seeing it, you know, it's like a cancer that's gotten to a place that's ridiculous now. It's comical, unfortunately, you know?
Oh yeah. And I think you're onto something there. These are all the ancient Marxist, communist, socialist, I mean, this is their tactics. This is what they do. And, you know, I'm fond of quoting from the Bible, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And they're trying to knock out the foundations of our family, you know, what we identify as, and what it means to be American, what it means to identify as a human or as anything, because we have all of this woke identity politics going run rampant. You know, it's pretty ridiculous. And telling.
Exactly. And you can hold these values and these beliefs and still not have like negative judgment towards other people's lifestyle choices. Cause I just don't. I've lived a really varied life. I've had a rock and roll existence and a very free existence, you know, and now I'm in a family, building a family. And that's just where I'm at. It doesn't mean now I'm looking at people that aren't building a family or still have a sort of free existence, so to speak, and thinking, oh, they're just way off and F them or anything. It's just like, no, man, life is interesting and challenging and this is where I'm at and this is what I believe, but I still love you and wish you the best with whatever you're pursuing. And it could lead to a great, fulfilling, happy life. I really believe that. Mine is not to judge, but at the same time, don't ask me to silence the fact that I think this is a groovy thing to do now too. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's gone all the way to the other end where if you say, yeah, I kind of sort of focus my life on building a family and God. Oh, how dare you? You're not allowed to even say that anymore. It's like, well, you can't make that impossible for me to say. And so it's interesting that Putin put those ideas in a speech, and now, oh great, now even when you hold on to those ideas and ideals, it'll make you a Russian sympathizer. So man, this could really work against us now that I'm thinking about it. We'll be right back with Adam Ruckus Clark after these words on TNT.
You should hear what Hescher is talking about.
The referendums on joining Russia are continuing in the Donbas republics and the Russian-controlled regions of southern Ukraine. On Sunday, the turnout already reached the required 50% threshold in Donetsk and Luhansk republics. Kherson has so far demonstrated lower turnout, with nearly 49% of voters showing up for the referendum. Polls across the two regions and in the Donbas republics are set to stay open for the next couple of days. So there you go. Ukraine about to get smaller, about to get a little bit smaller, it looks like. I'm sure that the mass media cartel will do their best to tell us that evil Putin has annexed these locations. and leave out the fact that many of these locations have been under attack for 8 years or so.
Hesher on TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
If you want the jibby jab,
all right, enough.
Then you've come to the wrong station. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Adam Ruckus Clark. We were just talking about Putin, Ukraine, the referendum, Ukraine getting smaller now, as Hesher just said in the break. And, you know, the thing is, there is an opportunity for peace right now if that's what they wanted, but they would have to let go of those regions of the Ukraine to Russia, who now claims them and is certainly not going to back off of that. So they could then, I mean, I think Putin would be willing to negotiate peace if they respected the referendum. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. So I don't know. They're already showing signs that they have no intention of respecting that. The U.S. and Zelensky, anyway.
Yeah, that's cute. So. Sounds good on paper, but it ain't going to happen, right? And that's a fact, Jack, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
In a perfect world, the other option is, of course, they would have to, we have to have president. We would have to have Trump as president again, because according to his Truth Social, remember we shared that the other night, he'd be willing to head the negotiations to bring peace. So, and that they're certainly not going to opt to do that. So Biden's not going to be like, you know what, I'm tired of this warmongering thing. Let's just send Trump over there and he'll just straighten everything out. There you go. I don't think it's going to happen, but yeah.
Well, they can either negotiate peace, or it's going to be mind-boggling the amount of loss that's going to occur. And so, I don't know. Better heads prevail. But not everyone in NATO is in favor of this, by the way, either. So this could also have a direct effect on NATO in terms of its sort of solidity. You know, I think Poland is for the war. U.S. seems to be for the war, and Zelensky is. And I think that's about it. I think the other people are like, you know, I'm no expert, but I've heard that they're not all unified. You know what I mean? I think so you would see some interesting fallouts that way as well.
I think we're moving past a point where, which is very interesting to think about this considering what happened during the pandemic, but I think we're going to see a lot more of a delineation from one side versus another, like a bipolar thing. And I think we're going to see a lot of larger multiple factions, multiple arrangements and groups and alliances happening. I think it's going to be the world is going to be a lot more occupied than a bipolar way of thinking, to be completely honest. I'm not 100% sure where I'm going with this, but I think like we're going to see like certain powers and organizations and groups get together and, you know what, screw all these people. We're in it for each other here. Let them do whatever. And we're going to see like multiple instances of that rather than a giant You know, like we had like the Axis of Evil versus the World Allies during some the World Wars, however they wanted to label it. It was always like good versus bad, black versus white, black versus white, left versus right, red pill, blue pill, etc. Team A, Team B. I think we're going to might see Team A through Z, and it just might be a giant free-for-all out there. So but my question is about this is I obviously we're moving into some version of a world conflict. So I'm still would need to be convinced that it's going to be like what we all grew up being afraid of, like someone's going to push the nuke button and things are going to start mushroom clouding and people evaporating and radiation sickness and, you know, the big one, folks. But I don't think we're going to see that. But I think it's going to be more of a drawn out thing because that's how the wars have been for quite a while now. We've had so many long drawn out across decades, it seems, some of these conflicts. My question is, how long is this going to go for? Is this going to be the type of thing that when, you know, when we get out on the other side after, you know, history and all this is said and done, is it going to be like 100, 200 years later? Is this going to be like a really crazy, long, drawn-out thing? How long do you think this can go on or will go on for, Joe?
I have no idea, dude. I really don't. I just, no clue, man. No idea. I don't know. I mean, what I've heard is that Russia hasn't really engaged its true force yet. So, you know, and yet the West reports it like they got their backs up against the wall. So there's just such a disparity of information floating around. It's really hard to assess, you know, and it's so unfortunate that we live in this time where just there's only propaganda that's allowed to flourish. You know, even Putin's speech, just interesting. Like, why wouldn't you want people to hear what he has to say? You know, it doesn't mean that you're pro Putin, that you're interested in what the guy has to say. I mean, if you're watching this like a story unfold, you want to know what's on people's minds and what, you know, that just makes sense. But, you know, it's all repressed. It's all held back. You know, and people are just getting little bite-sized bits of propaganda. And, you know, you have Biden saying it's ridiculous that Putin suggests that they're responsible for the Nord Stream sabotage. And yet, you know, he gives a speech where he's bragging about how they're going to take the Nord Stream pipelines out, essentially. You know, like in a hushed whisper, we're going to do it. You know, we can do it. You know, it's like, dude, it's cartoonish. And then Putin just goes on and says, listen, everybody knows that the U.S. is responsible for this. This is like not having it, you know, and to look at it rationally, that just makes sense, because why would he bomb his own pipelines? It just doesn't really make sense. You know, he said, look who benefits from it. That's who did it, you know? And he just basically point blank said, everybody knows who did it, you know? So you have other countries chiming in too. I mean, who are, I think, casting the shadow on the U.S. And they do look guilty, and it doesn't make you anti-American to notice that, to remember what Joe Biden said in his speech 3 weeks ago or however, like in very recent times about, you know, and to assess the situation with rational thought, you know what I mean? But yet you have to always throw this caveat in when you're discussing these things. I'm not pro Putin, you know, and I'm not anti-American, far from it. I want to be proud of America. I want America to act right. I don't think we're acting right in this case. You know, I think we should be negotiating peace. And I think that, you know, yeah, and there you go. So anyway, we got to go to the headlines. We'll be right back with Adam Ruckus Clark after these words on TNT.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. 30 former FBI agents have spoken out publicly in support of a suspended whistleblower who blew the lid on the agency's agenda to inflate the threat of domestic terrorism. Russian President Vladimir Putin is set to deliver a voluminous speech and formally annex 15% of Ukraine in a grand ceremony in Moscow on Friday afternoon. And the World Trade Organization has warned the globe is slipping into a recession due to multiple overlapping crises.
Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out, helping you make a difference on TNT Radio.
Ron DeSantis delivers blunt message for those thinking about looting in the wake of the hurricane. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis warned those who are thinking about looting in the wake of Hurricane Ian that they are putting their lives at risk as the state supports citizens using the Second Amendment. DeSantis, who made the remarks while speaking in the devastated community of Matlacha near Fort Myers, said that he had seen citizens indicating that they will shoot looters. Quote, they boarded up all the businesses, and there are people that wrote on their plywood, "You loot, we shoot," DeSantis said. At the end of the day, we are not going to allow lawlessness to take advantage of this situation. We are a law and order state, and this is a law and order community. So do not think that you're going to take advantage of people who have suffered misfortune. I would not take the chance, DeSantis said. Florida is a Second Amendment state. Well, there you go. That's tough talk from old Ron. What do you think to that, Ruckus?
Nice. I like that.
Nice.
That's pretty legit. If people actually listen to him, how many lives did he just save right there? You know what I mean? Because he's probably right.
That's true. That's actually a good point. I mean, and small businesses, which is also going to lead to saving lives too. You're right, though. You know, I mean, you know, people that are like anti-gun would go, "Oh, how terrible of him to say that and support that." But at the end of the day, that's going to dissuade people from looting, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate goal, to be honest with you, for fans of the Second Amendment, is to never have to use it, but just knowing that crime is going to be reduced because criminals, yeah, you never know. Do I want to go in there and rob this little liquor store, or is the old man behind the counter got a shotgun and he's going to blow my ass off if I do? So, I love that about it. From what the research I've done about people who carry, concealed or open carry. I live in an open carry state here in New Mexico. You find that in instances where a gun needs to be used in order to save your life, you generally don't even have to fire it. It's just the fact that you pull it, that you have it, that the criminal sees it, that it's just there, that it exists, and it's in the equation, and that stops all of the other alternative that could happen. So, I'm a big fan of the Second Amendment, and I'm a big fan of what DeSantis said, and I like the way he handled it. I doubt we'll probably see people attacking him. They'll be like, yeah. Maybe like water off a duck's back for this guy. So, besides, that would be pretty tasteless on people's part to start attacking him. He's kind of got a big disaster to deal with in his state, you know, heavy loss of life and property and damage. He's got bigger fish to fry right now than, you know, dealing with political BS on Twitter. So, but kudos to him.
Well, good, man. This is going to make good radio because I disagree, Adam Ruckus Clark. Not with his sentiment, of course. I think it's smart to try to protect small businesses and actually looters to dissuade them from acting that way. But I disagree on the point that he probably won't get pushback because, this is a huge issue. Obviously, we're inundated with massive issues right now. So I guess it could slip through the cracks, but it'll be interesting to see.
How it would happen.
I would think I think The View is going to say something horrible about him, at least a mention, you know.
Okay, here's the black pill then. Knock on wood. If something happens, if a bunch of looters go out there and start causing a ruckus and somebody does get shot and killed, then we'll probably hear about it and we'll probably hear all the news headlines. DeSantis blew a dog whistle to a bunch of MAGA terrorists and they shot up a bunch of, you know, people who are, were just going scrounging for food. And like you see the video and they're walking out with like big screen TVs, you know, but whatever.
Yeah, no, this has a future dog whistle accusation writ all over it in big capital letters, spray painted. on the side
Look
of
at you. I'm trying to be optimistic, and you're the one bringing the black pills. All right.
You know, I'm just trying to have fun banter with you, man. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, this world has gotten so kooky. Speaking of which, welcome to California, where parents are encouraged to mutilate up their kids in and outside the womb. This week, Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law multiple bills strengthening the Golden State's commitment to the legal killing of the unborn, as well as radical life-changing surgery for minors suffering from gender dysphoria. So there you go. They're, you know, they're in full grips of the woke agenda for sure. Oy vey, and there's always a picture of Gavin smiling broadly, looking strangely demonic. What were you about to say?
Well, actually, it's funny the way he looks. He reminds me of Christian Bale in that movie American Psycho. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, exactly. It's actually not a bad look, to be honest. I mean, looks in the looks department, he's doing all right. If he was only, you know, if his soul wasn't black, and I don't mean in a racial way. I mean, calm down.
Is this involved with them? I caught a couple headlines either today or yesterday, early, you know, late last night, early in the morning, this morning, I forget, whatever, right? Such a blur. About the fact that the kids can do this and the parents don't need to be told about it. Like, you don't need the parental consent.
Right.
Like, that's kind of disturbing.
More than kind of, man. I don't know, Matt Walsh, I was seeing some headline. I didn't actually read the article, but I saw it real quick before the show that he was, let me see if I can even find it, where he was going to put together some kind of massive protest. Okay, here it is. Matt Walsh announces a rally to end child mutilation. Daily Wire host and documentarian Matt Walsh isn't just talking about major issues. He's taking action following his expose on Vanderbilt University Medical Center transgender treatment on minors. Walsh announced Friday that he will be holding a rally at the Tennessee State Capitol in Nashville to push for the end of child mutilation in the state. Join us October 21st at the state capitol as we rally to end child mutilation across the state, Walsh tweeted. So he's certainly very brave in this regard. And this has obviously become a deep passion for him. And I agree with it. I just, you know, to me, I don't think that these surgeries are appropriate for minors. Simple as that. For people that aren't, that haven't grown into being adults yet, you know? So I don't
know. Clearly you wouldn't pass the hiring process to work at Vanderbilt, you know, because, you know, that doctor there who said, if you don't want to do this kind of work, don't work at Vanderbilt. So there you have it.
I wonder, I haven't like talked politics with any of like sort of my former leftist friends and even family about this kind of situation. And I kind of don't want to approach the subject, but I wonder what their take is on this. If they go down the line with every single leftist agenda, if this one unnerves them, I wonder how many people this one is a line in the sand, or if it's not. I haven't really done any sort of research in my own life about this, but there's people I'm curious about in my life where I'm like, what's your take on this? Do you really think this is okay? I mean, this seems so extreme and just obviously gonna lead, you know, leads to horrific consequences to people who undergo these kind of treatments when they're children still, you know? It's just, and the fact that you have to be brave to even say that, I don't know. It's just, it's bizarro world. Have you had any conversations with any leftists, or do you even know anybody like that?
Do I know any leftists? To be honest, I don't know actually where a lot of people I know fall politically. I think a lot of people I know generally just don't seem to care about politics, news, current events, or anything. So that's kind of unfortunate, but kind of lucky in a way, I suppose. I don't have to butt heads with liberals, except when I'm on social media and whatnot. But I will say, doing what I do, it's one of my day jobs. I do wind up talking on the phone with complete strangers who wind up or may not wind up being customers. And whether or not they do or they do not, I've noticed that sometimes throughout conversations, if something does come up as far as politics is concerned, they're very happy to talk about it and show off and admit that they're conservative. So I've noticed that conservatives are not shy about identifying themselves to stranger, I suppose, would be my own experience as the social, social experiment in my own life. But I've never had anybody, you know, come forward and say, "Oh yeah, I'm a raging libtard," you know. They wouldn't say that, but you know what I mean. Like, so I don't know any necessarily personally. I hear you used to be quite the Democrat back in the day, so I know a reformed Democrat.
But that's when I thought it stood for freedom and freedom of speech and freedom of expression. I'm all those things still. I'm a Bill Maher type. I don't really necessarily feel comfortable identifying with either group at this point. But I have to say, you know, obviously the radical left has become increasingly insane in my view. So I certainly don't identify with those views, and I won't act like I do, and I won't be afraid to say what I disagree with, you know, because I don't want to live a life in fear where I can't communicate my ideas in the way my head thinks. You know, this is just how I think, you know, and I think it's rational and it's not hateful. It's opposite of that. I care very much about kids, and I understand that they might be going through serious identity crises. And, you know, maybe as adults, they decide they really do want to transition, and I would fully support that. And I would love them and identify them by whatever pronoun they wanted. I'm not like radical in this realm at all. And I know there's other people that feel more extreme about that, and I don't. And I don't judge lifestyle choices really either, even though I have Christian values myself, or try to live up to Christian values. I understand not everybody feels that way, and that's fine with me. I would still invite you into my home and care about you and everything. You know what I mean? That's just where I stand with it. But when it comes to kids, they're going through identity crises. I mean, most adults, most of us are all going through identity crises all the time. I think I went through 14 of them today, you know. But when you're a kid, it's really extreme. And there's all kinds of propaganda that are urging them towards this agenda. And it's obvious. And the uptake of people that are like lining up for this gender reassignment surgery, it's just not on the level. Because there is such a push towards rewards of a certain type on TikTok and the like, and the social medias that are obsessed with it are pushing these agendas forward. And then kids are making permanent life choices that are going to, you know, end their ability to ever have kids, be strapped to big pharma to the tune of 1.3 million over the course of a lifetime, and endless hormonal treatments, which cause devastating effects to their health years and years down the road. This is all known. And then also the insane amounts of suicide that happens to them when a few years pass. Those numbers are known as well. So it's my concern with those aspects that make me go, you know what, I'm just going to say what I think about this issue. And I do commend Matt Walsh for being so brave about it, you know. And that doesn't mean I hate people that are trans or anything like that at all, not even vaguely, not even close, and never have, and I never will. So there. I mean, but you know, you used to be able to have nuanced conversations. You used to be able to just say these things and not just fit in one two-dimensional thing. I mean, the whole thing with the radical left and the woke agenda is you have to say very specific things, and you're only allowed to say an increasingly smaller and smaller box to fit your rhetoric in. And I just refuse to do that. And I think more people should refuse to do that as well. We'll be right back with Adam Ruckus Clark after these words on TNT.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Ian was a major natural weather event. That storm is now in North Carolina, and that storm will be over tomorrow. And then the real storm begins. The storm of realization how bad the supply chain is and how long it's going to take to recover from this storm. And then, of course, there'll be the blame game. It's already really started. that this is because of man-made climate change, when in reality, there are many parts of the world that are seeing the opposite go on. But you know the story here on TNT. The question is, how are we going to get this story out to a global population that seems to have been brainwashed by all this? Something beyond my pay grade, but I'll stand up for the truth as far as what the weather's doing anytime someone asks me about it. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
How often should you wash your hands?
Maybe around 9 times a day.
4? Like 20?
Maybe twice a day.
Whenever they feel dirty.
When should you wash your hands?
After you touch some raw meat.
And before starting to eat.
At the beginning, I wash my hands before preparing food.
How would you rate your knowledge of food safety?
Probably like an 8 out of 10.
6 or 7.
7.5. Like, I know the basics, but I'm not necessarily like an expert in it by any means.
Food safety, it's in your hands.
Democracy is under attack. The Australian government wants to control free speech and the internet with the Australian Code of Practice on Disinformation and Misinformation. Disagree with what government is saying and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to digi.org.au. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
And we're back with Adam Ruckus Clark. I'm Joseph Arthur. Apparently, Adam has a story about Fauci and a transgender monkey. So take it away, my brother.
Yeah, no, this is apparently a thing. Since he joined the NIH, he's hemorrhaged a bunch of money into both frivolous and diabolical projects alike. Did you hear about this one? Last year, the federal institution conducted bizarre experiments on primates. Monkeys and apes. Officials claimed the study's purpose was to determine why transgender women have higher rates of HIV. So researchers took male rhesus monkeys and administered feminizing hormone therapy treatments. They basically chemically induced transgenderism in a bunch of monkeys and then gave them AIDS and then studied them. Way to go, Fauci. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, these medicines probably break down the immune system, you know? I mean, taking a bunch of pills from Big Pharma is just, you know, it's no bueno. I mean, we should know this by now, you know? There's limitations to what the human body can deal with. So, you know, that seems to point in that direction to me.
Yeah. And it's also, it's just so you know, because this was headed up by Dr. Fauci, I find it interesting that each of the test subject monkeys was forced to live inside of a tiny little metal box the entire time while they were constantly prodded and poked and blood drawn and all this stuff. So stay at home.
Yeah. Fauci, I mean, I had Peter McCullough on last night. He was saying that in his sort of roundup, write-up for his career and where he just stepped down from the NIH, I suppose, he said there was no mention of COVID in the whole thing, the breakdown of his career, which is very telling and kind of daunting at the same time. So,
I guess because the jury's still out on that one, right? He's not ready to claim victory because they don't know.
Or because he knows there's no victory that's going to be claimed. I mean, that's where that points to me. But, I mean, you use your own, you know, your own three-pound universe to assess that situation. But for Fauci to fail to put that, you know, in his sort of career retrospect is alarming and telling, let's say. That's about it.
Yeah. But I don't think he's going to disappear from the news cycle anytime soon, even though he's stepping down from his current position. I think we'll still see people walking around with their St. Fauci t-shirts, burning their St. Fauci incense in front of their St. Fauci altars.
I think those St. Fauci altars are about to get repurposed and I don't know, man. They're going to go on super sale soon. Meghan McCain said Trevor Noah is another bootlicking comedian who is too scared to be funny in response to his announcement about leaving The Daily Show, speaking of people stepping down, which she said was a long time coming. The former co-host of The View wrote an op-ed for The Daily Mail Friday titled, "I Loved The Daily Show and Trevor Noah Ruined It. The best comedy punches up at the powerful, but today's late night hosts are too scared to be funny." This is really true, man. These guys are just propagandists at this point. I mean, Stephen Colbert is just, it's embarrassing watching them. I watch them the same way I watch a movie that's so bad it's good. I watch late night television people the very same way. I'm actually like a weird inverse fan of watching it, because I find it entertaining watching them pander to propaganda and just the same talking points. And it's kind of like watching an episode of Black Mirror in real life, though, you know, because and the funny has just been drained. There is just nothing even humorous about it. It's just very strange. I wonder who's going to take over The Daily Show.
I guess I had missed the fact that he was stepping down. Interesting. It's good that McCain went to bat for him. You know, there have been many instances where people like to step up and speak up and support their celebrity of choice, especially comedians, it seems, like Dave Chappelle and whatnot. Because so many of them have come out, you know, since before the pandemic, even speaking about how the woke culture and political correctedness is just killing comedy and they don't even like to tour or do shows anymore. I remember Jerry Seinfeld for a while saying, like, you can't even, he gave up doing comedy on college campuses because it's just too, it's too woke, you know what I mean? So, I mean, comedy, just like your art, you know, music and any other form of art and creativity, you know, you need to have free rein to just let it be, let it create, let it flow, you know. And with comedy, real comedy comes from satirizing real life. And if you can't talk about what's really happening, because, you know, truth, that is reality, things that are happening around you, is now labeled hate speech. Well, you know, there goes your career as a comedian, because now all you are is a terrorist, a professionally paid one. So might be pretty dangerous for comedians in the near future, unfortunately.
It reminds me, I was supposed to play that new jam, Fascism Now, but now we've gotten too close to the end of the show. I totally spaced it. I think I have to master it anyway and make sure it's loud and pumping. So we got a new jam coming up next week. Yeah, with comedy, man, it's more important to be able to have free speech. It's more important. I mean, comedy depends on saying the thing you're not allowed to say. I mean, that is sort of the point. It's sort of like, it's supposed to cross lines. It's supposed to do that. So if you live in a world where to do that is seen as, like you said, an act of terrorism, it drains the funny completely out of the room. With music, you can get away with a lot more. Also, you know, you can be more abstract. Music doesn't depend on saying something extreme, whereas comedy really does. I mean, Louis C.K. is so funny because he says these outrageous things. That's what makes it funny. You know, it's comedians depend on being outrageous, or else it's just kind of like light. I don't know. It doesn't really work. So I think comedy is really important in the fight of freedom, in the fight of free speech.
Oh, yeah. It's really, because you're putting a constraint on your creativity and on comedy in this instance. If you're not, oh, am I allowed to say this? Am I going to offend this person? Is this going to go against my contract? Too many things to think about. You should just do it. Just go out and say it, you know, and whatever will be will be. And people will laugh. You know what I mean? And, you know, comedy is supposed to be a way for us to examine some of the darker parts of our society and of ourselves. And, you know, because we can't face it sometimes, we have to have like this dark gallows humor about it. And I don't know. I'm a big fan of comedy. So I miss it.
Well, this could be interesting, though. Trevor Noah stepping down, because he's still young, and I have a feeling he's funnier than what he was allowed to be on The Daily Show. You know, I mean, I'm sure when you're involved in a big corporate show like that, there's rules and regulations. You have writers. You know, it's all sort of curated for you. So it'll be interesting to see him come out post stepping down, and maybe he'll... maybe we'll get something revealed to us about the inner workings of these comedy shows, or former comedy shows, now, propaganda channels, essentially. That's what they've become. They've descended into extreme propaganda that's actually kind of entertaining to watch, because, I don't know, it's ridiculous. All right, Ruckus, happy weekend, my brother.
Thanks. Same to you.
We got 30 seconds left, so...
Oh, here you go. Sid Caesar. Comedy has to be based on truth. You take the truth, and you put a little curly Q at the end. And I guess we are the curly Q at the end. Thanks, Joseph.
All right. God bless, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on TNT. Keep listening.